Welcome to City Talks, a monthly podcast looking at the big issues facing UK cities and the latest thinking in urban policy. I'm your host, Andrew Carter, from the think tank Centre for Cities. I hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome to this episode of City Minutes, which is part of the ongoing series we're running focusing on the Levelling Up agenda ahead of the much anticipated government Levelling Up white paper, which is due to be published in the autumn. For this episode, which is the part two of a two-parter, I'm joined again by my colleague Catherine Enenkel. We're going to talk about what can be done to improve the economic performance of towns. Welcome, Catherine. Today, we're going to focus on how we can level up struggling UK towns. As our research clearly shows, not every town is struggling. In fact, many are doing very nicely. So what can we learn from successful towns about levelling up?
Thank you, Andrew. So in our research, we see that the main characteristic which differentiates strong from weak towns are actually the skill levels of the inhabitants. So in weak towns, around half of the population over 16 has no or low skills, which is massive, while in strong towns, that it's only a bit more than a third. So, and this looks then totally different for high skills. Strong towns have much more people with high skills than weak towns. And that has then implications for why the town is strong or weak. The higher the skill levels, the more likely is that the person employed in these skills or having these skills can be employed or work in a high skill jobs, which is higher paid. And we know which is offered by often by a city. This is only possible if a high skilled jobs or high skilled jobs in general are available. And that is the second thing where we see the difference between weak and strong towns. A lot of successful towns, they are actually mostly located near a strong city, which can offer a lot of well-paid jobs for people living in the hinterlands and apart from to the city themselves. And for the levelling up agenda, that means first that it must focus on increasing skills levels, particularly in underperforming towns. And second, it must increase the performance of cities so that they can deliver these jobs. But what our research is showing as well is that there are some towns which perform pretty well despite being located next to a weak city. And we looked a bit into it to actually find out what is going on. So what we can see is that while weaker cities have fewer high-skilled jobs opportunities, they have actually some. There are just fewer to go around. And this means also that only a few towns in their orbit can benefit from these jobs. I think to illustrate this, it's good to look at an example. For instance, Birmingham. We know Birmingham is underperforming. It's a big city, but it's not performing how it should perform. So it's classified as weak. But because it's so huge, it is offering a lot of high-skilled jobs opportunities, particularly in the city centers and also like to their hinterlands. We know that there are six towns within 45 minutes travel time around Birmingham. But what we can see that not all of these towns are actually able to benefit from Birmingham's high-skilled jobs. So there are only some commuters who get these jobs. Mainly, they live in Bromsgrove and Lichfield. They are both strong towns. So just as an example, both of these towns are home to 34% of Birmingham's high-skilled commuters from surrounding towns, despite only having 21% of their population. And this stands then in contrast to Cannock or Tamworth, who have a home up to around 43% of the population, but 40% of the high-skilled commuters into the city. So actually what the example is illustrating is it's not about cities against towns, it is rather about towns against towns. And what it means for policy is that without improving actually the performance of Birmingham, the towns around Birmingham will actually compete with each other. And this is not only the case for Birmingham, but also for other cities in the UK which are underperforming. They're not able to fulfill their role. For sure, the question is then arising, why are some places like Bromsgrove and Lichfield are getting all these high-skilled commuters? We looked at the living conditions such as crime or the quality of housing stock, and they actually have lower crime levels and a better quality of housing stock. So they perform better when it comes to living conditions, which makes these places more attractive. And yeah, what does it mean then for policy and overall? So in conjunction with improving the performance of cities, mainly productivity so that they can deliver good jobs, must happening an investment in skills And improvement of the living conditions in towns. So everything must happen in conjunction.
And you've emphasised rightly the importance of skills as the sort of foundation for, you know, thinking about how places perform economically. And then you touched on living conditions, focusing on housing and crime. What about transport? I mean, transport is often talked about as being the thing that really matters, that, you know, the thing that knits cities and towns together. What's our research saying on that?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's very true what you say. Transport is extremely, extremely important to bring people to jobs, be it within a city or from a town to a city. So this is why we looked at it. However, our research shows that it shouldn't definitely not be in the focus of the leveling up debate. At least when it comes to towns. So we looked at a different set of indicators, all basically describing transport systems connecting towns and cities. And first of all, we see that commuting times between towns and the nearest city don't appear to explain the performance. So it's not really faster to travel from a weak town to the nearest city than from a strong town to the nearest city. There's not really a big difference. And then when we look at another indicator, which is looking at the proximity to a number of different cities, we actually see that some weak towns, those which have at least one strong city nearby, have more cities within an hour's commute than any other town type. Which is very interesting, I think, because if a person would like to work in a city's job in these towns, it could access up to 9 different cities. I think best illustrated is this by the example of the towns in West Yorkshire. People living in Pontefract, Halifax and Castleford, they have all 7 to 8 cities commutable within 60 minutes, which is a lot. And yet, despite all this connectivity, they all had a very, very high unemployment rate. So I think this illustrates pretty well that the problems these towns are facing is not that they are not connected enough or are too far away to cities. The problems are probably laying elsewhere. We also looked at at public transport accessibility, so whether there is like maybe a flaw or not. And we cannot say that weak towns are systematically disadvantaged when it comes to that neither. So that's another point which is illustrating the problems are not public transport or transport in general.
Very good. Thank you very much indeed. I mean, your point about, you know, transport is important, but may not be the differentiating factor that explains why some places do well than others, just reinforces this view that we've always had, which is people must have a reason to travel, and having good transport connections enables the travel. But if you don't have a rationale or a reason to travel in the first instance, the transport connections are not really that important to you. Thank you very much indeed, Catherine. For more details on all our Levelling Up work, including part one of this 2-part mini series, you can find the research events, more podcasts on our website, centreforcities.org. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of City Talks, brought to you by Centre for Cities. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher by searching Centre for Cities. Please rate, review and subscribe if you liked what you heard. You can also follow the Centre on Twitter at Centre for Cities, or like us on LinkedIn for the latest updates on what the Centre is up to. If you have any comments on the episode or suggestions for topics we should cover in the future, we'd love to hear from you. Do tweet us or send an email to info@centreforcities.org. The music was from Palace Fires by Johnny Foreigner, used with permission, and all rights are reserved.